Action Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling greedy. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. So
Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only.
Good night, Bahamas. Season. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, aka Scoochie Scrooge. Governor, OMP, have many different nicknames over the years. That's just an amount of respect people had for me over the years. That is gain. So many people call me different names. Many people call Mr. Brown. You know, I appreciate that as well. So, and the reason why I give out a lot of nicknames is because, you know, Bahamians overall, we have nicknames for all of our grandchildren, you know, our aunties and uncles and mothers. They name the kids in the family, so nickname is a part of our culture. You know, none of us can run from that, you know. So many people tell me, say, well, you know, you set the example. Yes, I am. And at the same time, I want to keep the identity of our natives. And as we develop with the transformation, it doesn't have to do with your looks or nothing. It's about your personality, the decision you make, the choices you make, who you help guide in the right direction in a positive way, and how you conduct yourself in public. Because, you know, looks ain't everything. You know, you could have coat, suit, et cetera. But that don't mean you are pure of heart. So it's good to be natural, you know, but it's also to make improvements. So telephone number tonight on Guardian Radio, 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. You can text us at 422-GR96. And it's a pleasure to be a host. Inside the Inner City show that talks about the country's problems, solutions. We talk about politics and how it affects us and how we can make changes in politics as well to benefit the majority of people. And, you know, it's a slow transformation we're seeing happen in the country, but nonetheless, we have to keep on advocating for better. And today's show is going to be about how we are losing our values. For instance, there was an incident on Facebook, where a young lady, you know, wanted to use the bathroom at a particular gas station, and an older gentleman was occupying the bathroom. And, you know, she wanted to use the bathroom. I guess her using the bathroom is more important than the older gentleman using the bathroom. In fact, she didn't know who was in the bathroom. So she was bombing, you know. So I guess the older guy, you know, probably hand the bomb and decides, you know, to finish whatever he had to finish. He might not have been to finish what he wanted to do in the bathroom. And, you know, he opened the door and she, you know, went berserk, you know, and actually assaulted the older gentleman inside the gas station service. I think it was a service station. But, you know, then we look at the incident where we had the next Facebook incident where we saw a police officer who was arresting a female inside a resident, outside of a resident. And, you know, it created a lot of controversy, and a lot of people were siding on the police side, some were siding on the female side, so we had a lot of mixed emotion on what's supposed to transpire. Many persons were asking why the officer was carrying on like that. Many persons were why the female acting that way instead of she just put her hands together and get handcuffed and let the police do his job. Or a female police officer supposed to be there. He is manhandling the female. And then, you know, other females were, you know, talking back to the police. So I guess there's an exchange of words. And then when you read the newspaper, we saw two females, you know, got charged for disorderly behavior, must see threats, blah, blah, blah. You know, so we wanted to discuss our morals in the country. Then we also want to talk about the incident with a senior police officer, just to make a point on it, not to criticize the officer or to criticize what happened, but it's something that needs to be talked about. I just want to show you about how we're losing our morals, okay? And then we can go from there. So before I begin the show, I want to give a warm welcome to two candidates who would be running in the being a grandstand election coming up. Jamal Bain, he is a police officer. He was under my wing. He's my cousin. He's a resident of the being a grandstand community. He is running for the Coalition of Independence. He was a part of my basketball program. I also helped him to become a police officer. Then, you know, so it's going to be very difficult, you know, in deciding who you're going to vote for, you know, in that community, in that part of the community. We also have Jay Philippe. Jay Philippe is one of my next students, you know. He was a young guy. I've been doing tournament for like 25, 26 years in the community. So over the course of that, I have had a lot of persons who participate in the tournament. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I can't even tell you how many people, you know, that span. I met so many different people from so many different walks of life, so many different family members, so many kids have grown up being a part of the basketball tournament. Jay Philippe is one of those guys. He practiced on the park. He played on the park, got good at basketball. He eventually left Nassau to pursue a basketball career. He was able to get a scholarship. He left, you know, he come from humble beginning, and he left and he went to United States of America, where he was a part of a college basketball team for many years. Then he became an assistant coach, you know, so now he came back to the Bahamas and he being a journalist in the Freeport News. Now he is the front runner for the candidate of the Free National Movement for the Being a Grandson community. So thumbs up to both guys. I don't know how it's gonna find out. I wish both of you guys the best of luck. I'm so proud to be able to assisted you guys, to see you guys now, you know, in the newspaper, you know, running to be leaders of the country, you know. So thumbs up to Coalition of Independent candidate Jamal Bain, as well as Free National Movement candidate Jay Philippe, who were both in my camp. Even to Tom Nan, you know, yeah, Tom Nan and his brother Lawal Nan. And Lawal Nan just won the long jump. Those two, I started their career off as well in the Lewis Creek area, okay? Started them off at basketball, Tom, when they was living through Lewis Creek in their grandmother's apartment, Mrs. Stafford Nan. So I've had a lot of input in a lot of athletes in the country who have become ambassadors to the country. Debbie Ferguson as well. Man, she used to run around in the community. I always used to tell the guys, never to bother her. She was a beautiful, brown-skinned, very attractive young lady. And she was in the community that was just pure gangsterism. And I made sure, because I saw the potential in her, and she used to run around the community every day. She used to live in the community, and she used to run around there every day in the community, you know, after school and stuff like that. And we make sure she was safe. And she went, she moved, and then she skyrocketed. So about being instrumental in a lot of young development kids who now become leaders of the country. So I'm very proud of myself, and I want to congratulate both candidates. They're going against a juggernaut, and the representative for being a grandstand, Mr. Watson. I met Mr. Watson. Mr. Watson is a decent MP. You know, he does the best that he can with a small budget. If you ask me what and should he be to be the next representative of being a grandstand, for me, as a radio host, you know, my personal view should not affect the voters. And I'm only one vote, and I'm never going to tell nobody who to vote for. Mr. Watson has done a phenomenal job. I guess it's just going to be how he portrays himself. He has helped a lot of people in being a grandstand, as being a member of parliament for being a grandstand. So I don't know. It's going to be very, 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 very tough. I guess there's a lot of talks, a lot of convincing you're going to have to do out there. But I think that he's the forerunner. I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very interesting. You know, and I'm proud of all of them. I wish Mr. Watson the best of luck as well. Like I said, he has done the best that he can as a member of parliament. He's helped many people with funerals. He's assisted many people with small contracts. He does back to school. You know, he goes to all the funerals. You know, but, you know, being a grandson is a big community, and, you know, he did the best that he could do. So I don't know if the people out in the being a grandson in Nassau is going to give him the vote, but he is the front runner, and we'd see how things go. Okay, just want to say that. And good luck to all the candidates on three of the political parties, Free National Movement, the PLP, and to the Coalition of Independence, and also to all of the independent candidates, because I think the independent candidates are going to do a lot of damage in this general election coming up. So I guess you got to go on the ground, you got to talk to people, be on your best behavior, and have some plans for the community and the country when you go to these houses. Okay, I want to give a shout out to my good friend Elroy Bryce. Okay, where was I? Okay, yeah. So I'm going to play the clip, start the show off good. Then as the show progresses, I'm going to talk about Officer Pinder and our morals, how we decaying. Then I'm going to talk about the young lady. Then I'm going to talk about one or two other topics. We could play the clip, Chris.
Hours after Prime Minister Philip Davis delivered a national address announcing that Parliament will be prorogued today, Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles read a proclamation from the steps of the House of Assembly that brings the legislative session of Parliament to an end. Davis said the proclamation signals his intention very close to ringing the bell.
Governor General of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, acting in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister, do hereby prorogue Parliament from Friday, the 27th day of March, 2026. Given under my hand and the public seal of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas at Government House in the city of Nassau, this 27th day of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026, and in the fourth year of His Majesty's reign.
Prime Minister Davis explained that proroguing Parliament does not mean it has been dissolved, but indicated that the country may be moving closer to the next general election.
Proroguing Parliament means the legislative session has come to an end. Proroguing is a routine step in our constitutional system, but it is not the same as dissolving Parliament. When Parliament is dissolved, the law requires that registration of votes ends and we move to a general election. I have not advised the dissolution of Parliament yet, but I'm very close to ringing that bell.
He urged Bahamians to get out and register to vote, warning that time is running out.
I want every Bahamian to know, by the time you hear that bell ring, if you're not registered, you will not be eligible to vote. Do not wait for the bell. Go now to your nearest parliamentary registration location and get registered. To those who have moved since the last election and have not yet transferred, I encourage you, go now and do so. To our youngest voters, those who have turned 18 since the last election and have not yet registered, this is your democracy. This is your country. Claim your place in it. Go and register.
He encouraged Bahamians to make their voices heard by exercising their right to vote and playing an active role in shaping the future of the country.
I don't want any of you to sit on the sidelines. Your voice matters. Your vote matters. Your role in shaping the country's future matters. My friends, we are all Bahamians. We all want this country to be safe. We all want it to be fair. We all want our country to give our children a real chance. We all want our nation to stand strong in a difficult world. Let that sacred love of our country guide us now.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Arnika Bannister.
Yeah, so Parliament has not been dissolved yet, so we're getting close to the general election. Some people say the 5th or the 12th of May. So this is the most persons have been registered, I think, in the history of the country, and it's continuing to grow. I think this election is going to come down to how we dealt with corruption, how we deal with immigration. The government of the Bahamas, honestly speaking, they have done tremendously great with investments in Exuma, Cat Island, and Nassau alone. A lot of investments in the billions, you know. They have done a lot helping small businesses, help promote small businesses. Spent close to over $90 million helping with the small business development. They have the National Youth Program. They have urban renewal, even though it could be way better than it's supposed to be. It's not at its full capacity. I think that urban renewal, under the right leadership within government, with the right set of people on board along with those who are there now, but more community-minded, spearheaded, community-minded, working together as a 50-50% partners, taking the ideas and what the community really needs to happen on the ground, along with the enforcement of the police and the staff at the Urban Renewal Center. But it's more like empowering to the community through urban renewal. That has not happened at its full capacity. It needs to be more directly pointed in that direction for it to be more successful. So they've done a lot, you know, but at the same time, we have a lot of people in the country who live in these inner city communities of Anglestown, Dane and Grandstand, Mason Addition, Camp Road, Fox Hill, Chippenham, all these communities that I personally live in. I mean, even though I live in Grandstand, these communities has a specific type of atmosphere where you can still go outside or to your neighbor. And as bad as it is, it still is very beautiful in our community because we associate with one another. We play dominoes, we play basketball on Sunday, you know, we could walk next door, eat food from one another, even though, you know, it's still there. You know, we still have that in the inner city community, we still have that community spirit, you know, where you could walk to your neighbor. So we just need to improve. You know, it's a lovable community because, like I said, we communicate. You know everyone in the community. You know, despite the violence and the poverty and et cetera, you know, we have a beautiful community. We just need to improve the living condition, and we need to improve our values. You know, in our country. You know, I'm going to play the next clip. I just want to play this clip, then I'm going to get to the topic and stuff like that. Okay, next clip. This is from the opposition leader. You know, like I said, the government is doing great. So this is response of the opposition leader, Michael Pintat, because I like to have a balance here.
So he keeps telling the Bahamian people that all is well. I want to ask you a few questions tonight. Feel free to answer. Is your light bill lower?
No!
Is your rent lower?
No!
Are prices in the grocery store going down?
No!
Is the healthcare system improving?
No!
Is your country putting Bahamians first?
No!
Do you really trust the PLP to fix any of these problems?
No.
The Prime Minister keeps...
Yeah, that's the Free Township Movement. They're saying that, you know, those particular issues of not being addressed. So a little response at what's happened just today. I think it's today or yesterday. This was just an opening of a clinic to show you that there's some things happening that we push for. You know, I always say on the show that, you know, each island that has a population of Bahamians, you know, should have their own clinic, should have their own ambulance, you know, should have their own airport, should have their own fire trucks, and et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's what I push because I know that on the family islands, they're underdeveloped. And we have members of parliament who sometimes neglect the community and its need. You know, we're seeing our family members. You know, I'm a Bahamian, I look at it as this. We are a tree, okay, and we have leaves. I might not know you personally, but the one thing I do, I have love for each and every one of you in this country. It's not by my design, you know, it's what running our family, my grandmother. In our family, my grandmother hated nobody. You understand? And in our family, we don't hate nobody. The family that grew up in my grandmother's house, we don't hate nobody. My auntie, my uncle, they don't argue with one another. We don't steal from one another. My family, who we reside with, we have never argued. You know, you could get anything from any one of us, and we don't talk as much. Besides Yvonne and Lily, them, they talk the most. I mean, Yvonne hardly talk at all, basically. But, you know, we don't hardly talk at all. We have never had a row in the house. We don't keep company, you know. I mean, I keep company, you know, Pacific company. But she had a thing. If someone who was a person who had bad values, she would just hail you, and she would tell us to stay away from that individual because that person is going to teach you to do bad things. You going around them is going to teach you to do things that is out of your character. But she never hated nobody. She would tell us, if she sees someone doing something bad in the streets, she would let us know, let me know as well, you know? Let me know, and I'll say, let us know that it's not a person you want to be involved with, you understand? So for me, and she was a kind woman, just like my mom and my auntie, you know, my uncle, we kind people, we give people our last, so, I'm also a given person, so that's what type of person we are. So I look at everyone in the country as a tree, and we all leaves on it. And even though you're on a family island, Camp Road, in the inner city community, I look at us as one. Many people might not look at it like that, but that's how I look at it, because at the end of the day, we were born in this world or nothing. Then one day we're going to die. You understand? So we only passing through, and the only thing we can do is not to live your life with hate. You know, I used to live a life where I thought guys was my enemy. No, you was your own enemy. Live a peaceful life, live an open life, live a transparent life, and your life will automatically change. But anyway, I want to play the next clip. I think we got to fix the phone line. All right. You can play the next clip? Okay, sorry. Okay. So in response to that, there was a clinic just recently opened by the government in response to the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, stating that, you know, certain things have not been accomplished, which I would agree. But also there were some things done that the administration has done as to help the needs of that particular community around the country. You know, we're seeing clinics being built. There's also one by, you get it? Okay, by the National Insurance Board on Blue Hill Road. They're building clinics like that, you know, to deal with the pressure from the Princess Margaret Hospital. Go ahead, Chris.
Feel like it's a right step in the direction of progress for Orchid Island. So with that being said, all progress is good progress. and look forward to seeing many more good things on the island.
I feel great. It's exciting. I'm happy because we have it close to the school.
I am extremely happy, extremely proud. It's in a very good location, right next to the primary school. And I think it's overall it's a very good thing to happen for us. I'm very happy.
Yeah, that's some of the progress being made. That's on the family island. Clinic was just recently opened for that particular community. And you're hearing the residents saying how they appreciate it. It's close to the school. That means it's walking distance. So if anything was to happen to them, they could get the bandage and stuff like that. That is progress. But I know that we as Bahamians, you know, we sometimes, you know, get distracted. But I'm saying there's good happening. And the Free National Movement also stated in the newspaper that if they win the general election, that they would cancel the contract of the building of the new hospital, that it is in works, in agreement, heads of agreement with the Office of the Prime Minister and the Chinese government to build a new hospital on Papaya Track. So the Free National Movement candidate hopeful Travis Robertson, who's also doing an extremely great job in the Fort Charlotte community, who's going against Sabas, who also is doing a tremendous job in Fort Charlotte. Kudos to both of you guys. The best man winning that community. Both of you guys are doing a tremendously great job in that community. Best of luck to you, both of you guys. What I was going to say now? You know, they are doing a great job. Anyway, I was trying to remember what I was going to say, man. Someone was on the phone to me just now. Like I say, you know, that's good competition. The people from Fort Charlotte, you know, they are getting the best representation from both of these guys. We should say in buying votes, but a lot of people are in need, and if both candidates are doing what they can to help people in their need now, and if the people at the end of the day say, you know what, I ain't getting nothing from election, you know, for many, many years, and if I can get my house fixed, my bathroom fixed, and my dike could get paid, both candidates are doing these things in the community. So it's a open stakes. The coalition candidate, he is visible in the community as well. It's being very quiet, but I think it's doing some work in the community as well. Best of luck to also the Coalition of Independent candidate for that Fort Charlotte community, that he or she is running to be representative of that community. So anyway, government is doing some great work. And, you know, the opposition is talking with the hospital. They're saying, yeah, excuse me, I just remember what I was going to say now. They were talking about if they get in power, they would stop the development of that particular hospital because they say, you know, it's not in the best interest of the Bahamian people. Travis Robertson, the candidate for the community, he is insisting that it's going to mess up the drainage system that is going to be interfered with once the hospital is constructed, because there's a drainage system where it's a runoff that runs from the old Patelco building up in that particular community. And when it gets flooded, it's like a channel that runs straight up in that community that takes the swell waters and reduces the level of the water in that particular community. He is saying that it's not good there as well. I don't know if he's saying it because, you know, he is the opposition, and the opposition leader is stating that, and their party itself don't like the idea about it. From my point of view, if you look at it, when we talk about the government side, you know, I always say that we need a new hospital, because as we see, you know, the hospital is in the worst state in 40 years. We have hearing numerous and numerous complaints of negligence. But it's not just because of the nurses, you know. It's a volume of people that comes in the hospital with incurable diseases like hypertension, diabetes, cancer, transmission diseases. Then you have a sprite of murders, shootings, stabbings. So it is just too much for small staff that are underpaid. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation. The hospital itself was built in the 1900s, okay? And it is outgrown. It's welcome, meaning that the population of the Bahamas has grown tremendously, and we have a serious health problem in the country when it comes to health habit. We don't eat healthy. So many people have diabetes. Many people need a dialysis machine. You know, many people on pills, you know. So we have to find a way on how we can bring down the levels of incurable diseases in our country, you know. Bloating, you know, cancer is rampant high, you know, in the country. We are one of the most unhealthy countries in the world. And I think that's because we're in proximity of the U.S. and we have adopted their way of eating. And if you look at the U.S., you'd see how much people in the U.S. die of incurable diseases in the U.S. and basically links to food poisoning, okay? And we have adopted that type of eating habit over here. And now we have a health crisis, and now our hospital is overflowed. Now we don't know what to do, if we need to build a new hospital, if we need to build on or build other section onto the existing hospital, which by now has deteriorated. So I don't know. We get problems, fund problems, you know. And the Afghan government said that they'll cancel that and start to rebuild and add on to the existing hospital, which, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make no, I mean, I know. All I say, we just need new hospitals, you know. So whatever the back and forth is about, what they can't agree on, I know we need a new hospital. I know we need the existing one. Still is going to be there. It's going to stay there for a little while. So we still have to work on that in the meantime. So I just don't know, you know. We're in big trouble. So it's a constant problem between both governments over the last 40 years. Both parties have failed to address it. The PLP government is addressing it now, the Free National Movement opposition, trying to persuade the Bahamian public that they have a plan for the hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital. So I don't know. I guess it's just a lot of talks they're gonna have to deal with when they have their meetings. But anyway, let me get to the topics now. So the question is, a lot of people were asking me, and I know they want to hear this, about the recent Officer Pinder. I know Officer Pinder. Officer Pinder, I know his brother. I know both of his brother. I know his family. We grew up together in the Grand Central community, but he moved out many years ago. So when I saw him in the newspaper, I know his brother Kenny and all of them. And, you know, many people are saying that, you know, how he got charged as so quick. And when other people, children and sons and et cetera in this country, you know, were caught in similar situation like this situation, their matters had to be sent to the coroner's court. And still before the coroner's court being investigated, all of a sudden now we have a senior police officer who was alleged to have killed our employee of Pike, who was also a visitor here to the country under contract to one of the U.S. company who was assisting the Bahamas as a sub-company in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Means that he is also a guest, and he is on work permit. And it is alleged that he lost his life in the altercation with Senior Officer Pinder. And on the news, when the briefing was being given out by the liaison officer, a particular lady officer who does extremely well on the radio and TV when it comes to informing the general public on the matters that happened in the country when it comes to murder or car accident, she spoke, but I think she spoke a little too quick because she jumped to a conclusion in defense of the officer. Like I said, still under the investigation. So she came on TV and then she stated that, you know, the officer felt like his life was in danger and from the vehicle. And since his life was in danger, he fired a single shot, which was the shot that ended up killing the employee from the Spike Company, electric company that is here, working on a contract over the U.S. To the Bahamas. And immediately, you know, immediately he was picked up, questioned. And then we had a response from the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas when he stated that, you know, the barge, he says, yeah, the barge cannot be above the law in the country. And I guess that, you know, the Pike Dam company has cameras. The restaurant has cameras. This was a highly populated nightclub that many distinguished people go to hang out and have fun. And many people question that, you see, it's bias in the country. You know, their loved one have lost their lives and they have to go to the coroner's court. Now, in this particular matter, why people is jumping to their conclusion is because we ain't had no coroner's, we ain't had this matter get turned over to no coroner's court. We have heard so many others saying to the police involved shooting where the coroner's, the matter's going to be turned over to the coroner's. We ain't hear nothing with no coroner's revealed on the news or in on Facebook or in media. So many people question this because we always hear about coroner's. I mean, ain't nothing but that. So people were saying they fast-tracked this because the U.S. put pressure on the Bahamas government. Of course the U.S. is going to put pressure on the Bahamas government because the U.S. would go to war for their citizens. Anyone who are American citizen living in the U.S. of America, come to any Caribbean country or any place in the world where the U.S. can get their citizen. And the embassy that is in each and every one of these countries, like Herschel Walker, his job is to protect every U.S. citizen that comes to the Bahamas. So, of course, when we listen to the Commissioner of Police, Ms. Shanta Knowles, who was addressing the ceremony at the House of Parliament today, she responded by many complaints from family members of deceased and members of the public who stated that only reason the Royal Bahamas Police Force was able to push this, fast-track this matter so far as for Officer Pender to be charged is because the U.S. put pressure on them. She responded and stated that there was no pressure. By them watching the video, it gave them the conclusion that some type of crime occurred. She didn't say crime occurred because, you know, she can't speak out because it's a criminal matter, but we know what she's talking about. But we as Bahamians know that that was the issue. They got pressured because someone showed a footage of Cesario Major. And this is not to take a shot at the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm telling you, we have to change our ways because we are all Bahamians. And if we don't see the wrong that we are doing in our country and defending it, it's going to be out of our hands. And out of our hands means incidents like this where an American guy from Spike got shot and killed. Right? To go to international to show you some of the faults in our law enforcement agency that we need to address when it comes to how we can de-escalate the situation without using lethal force. There are many ways to do it. So anyway, now, it shows Zario Major. So since the commissioner talked about they see the footage and they did the investigation and they come to the conclusion, then people are saying, why didn't y'all look at Zario Major's get video footage where we saw off-duty officers conspiring, you know, on the videotape on how they are plotting to take the life of Mr. Major. You understand what I'm saying? And people saw these things. So I'm just talking truth. You know, if we want to make the bombers great again, if you're talking with a Christian nation, and we want to set example, and we want to stop all this crime and all this corruption in the country, then we have to get down to the truth and fix ourselves. You know, we have to fix ourselves. I fix myself and still continue to fix myself. You understand? So if I was a guy on the streets toting all kind of guns, giving guns to all kind of guys, selling drugs, plotting on people's lives because people plotting on my life, and I don't want to see none of that no more. I don't want to be mixed up in none of that no more. I don't want to be around no one of you and rowing. If someone started to row, I gone because I can't stand it in my blood no more. I can't do it. So I'm not going to sit around and allow wickedness to go on. And we all be humans. And we're taking up for it. And we're all paying a price for it. Now we have an international incident that is out of the hands of the Bahamas government. And only getting exposed to international pressure has made our Bahamas government, our Royal Bahamas Police Force, to start to put discipline measures in place and preventative measures in place to bring some type of level of honesty and professionalism of our police officers. We have many officers out there who are basically trained on how to de-escalate situations, but we have far too many. So let me just get this over here, Major. So people look at that. So when the commissioner says things like that, we look at the things that already happened, where we have footage, where we're seeing this guy was shot close to 27 times, disfigured, and we're seeing something, right? Because they are officers, okay? They were not guys from the streets we saw in the video. They are officers who are supposed to train and attack the citizen. Is that, how are we saying now? The protect and serve? Is that protect and serve we see on the footage? Is that protect and serve when we saw this young gentleman who just having a baby coming into the world, which he would not see at 21 years of age at the hands of our law enforcement officers? And this guy was visiting the Bahamas. So he actually killed a tourist, an American citizen. Ain't no behemoth has done that to no American citizen in the country, but it came from someone in the armed forces. But that's not you understand now, for someone on the streets who killed tourists or guests, you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not vindictive of this officer, you know. I feel bad for him because I tell you I know him. But I'd explain it more as the show continues and how it affects us as behemoths. And we have this discussion when we have poisons to the highest level, but always take up for what's wrong in the country and never speak truth and try to correct it and admit that something went wrong and we need to look on it and we need to change our ways and our procedures. You know, the Prime Minister hinted that, you know, we need to take a look at how off-duty officers discharge their firearms procedures. So let me finish, get to Major. So yes, we saw that. So we saw the footage from that. So now we saw all the footage from this guy, and now all of a sudden, Pindo is before the courts. Now he's in Fox Hill Prison, charged with a murder charge. And we have our top-level cop in the country telling us as behemoths that they ain't had no pressure from international. You could get pressure from the U.S. Embassy. That's their citizen. If they have to come and investigate their citizen getting killed here from a major company, be in big trouble. And we didn't want that because we are partners. So it's like many people say, if this wasn't a U.S. guy, this probably would have been cover up from other officers in the country because that's what they do in the system. So we are making changes. And I applaud the Royal Bahamas Police Force. But just remember, what people see, right, and things have happened over and over in our country, it's still in us. So we're going to be optimistic on your word in. It's like you protecting the system, okay? I thought we were supposed to be praising God and living God, but you're protecting the system. And the system that you're protecting is the British system. Because if you listen to the closing, not the closing of Parliament, it's not being dissolved. You know, the primacy dissolved Parliament sometime in probably April, right? The proclamation or something like that, yeah. If you listen closely, you would see that we're not a free nation, that we're still under the British, because when you listen, you heard the Prime Minister then in talks with the Governor General, and then we heard the Commissioner of Police, Ms. Shanta Knowles, and then she said about St. Michael's. She talked with the, and then she said, long live the King. So if we're in the Bahamas, and who is St. Michael? If you listen to the thing, she said, who is St. Michael's and these people? Huh? Who is these people? Y'all don't listening. You understand? These things, these the words that were said today from the Commissioner of Police when she talked about St. Michael's and then she talked about the King. Long live the King. So, again, you know, so we swear to the King, but to God. You understand? So the swearing is a very serious thing, and the tongue is the most powerful thing on the human body and on the face of the earth. You understand? So anyway, now, the point what I'm trying to say is that, yeah, it's a double standard in the country, you know, when it comes to these type of incidents in our country. We know that officers are protected from the fraternity. And if it wasn't for international pressure, things wouldn't be changing. Ms. Knowles is doing the best that she can, but she still is a system. She have to stay in protocol because she signed a contract and she take an oath. She take an oath to the King. You understand? And to the Bahamas. So they're in a system, you know, and us as citizens want the system to be favorable to us as well. You know, we are different, you know. Government, they are part of government. That's why they get health insurance. That's why they can go to the bank and get a loan on a house or get a loan on a car, and they can pay this loan. You understand? They are different. They're civil servants. You understand? That's why they get pension after they do 30 years. You know? They are part of government, you know? So, you know, yeah, it's a double standard in our country. Cases get pushed way ahead of other cases. You know, so a lot of families out there who said these things, and they are right, you know? They are right. They got pressure. Ms. Knowles don't have to tell us they got pressure. We know they got pressure. U.S. ain't letting no one play with their citizen. And like I said, when you look at the footage and some of our witnessed them, you know, they stated that, you know, like, you know, he was intoxicated, you know. When you look at the incident with Mr. Major, you could see the officers as well was intoxicated, you know. I have no problem with officers on there when they're off and drinking and having fun, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, y'all are police officers. And the last thing should be on your mind is to go in an environment where there are people to have the intentions of discharging your firearm because you are a police officer. And you feel that you could get away or you don't want to de-escalate the situation. I heard Ms. Skippins on an old interview, she said that police officers don't fire warning shot. You know, they shoot to kill. So you don't think in some incidents like that, you know, if you could de-escalate the situation, you don't think you'd fire off a warning shot in the air if someone is not life-threatening to you, someone who's not physically threatening you, they don't have no weapon in their hand, they just having a verbal abuse, they are unarmed. Because this gentleman had to be in an arm. Do you think it's right for you to have an argument if you're at a nightclub and you're a police officer and you decide because you're a police officer, you wouldn't even try to de-escalate the situation because you know when you're in this nightclub and you're with civilians and the civilian is in the club, they have a little bad, they have a bad, how I should say, they have a bad attitude, they're not growing up properly. And the officer himself, you know, even though he's a professional, he could be out of character because he is drinking as well. So you have the customer, he's tanked up, he's been drinking, you have a police officer, he's tanked up. So argument start. And, you know, if the police officer said that I'm a police officer, I know what a guy who tanked up could say, who was being, you know, on the street a little rough. He said, I don't give a hell who you is, you know, you can't play with me. And that would get an officer agitated. And there from there, he can lose his mind because, again, lose his temper, again, just like anyone else. Because, you know, he has been drinking, and is intoxicated. And that could cause people to make mistakes, you know. I've made mistakes like that in nightclubs where I get so intoxicated, I pick trouble with everyone. I've watched guys get intoxicated and can't remember what they do in the morning. I've been like that many, many of times. So alcohol and up in a firearm is a very serious thing. So I heard the Prime Minister stating that, you know, we have to find some means. Yes, if officers go, it's good to have fun, but officers, you need to be able to de-escalate the situation knowing that you have a firearm. You should not just, because someone has an argument in an environment that you're in and you're off duty, doesn't give you the right to yuck at your firearm and discharge it. You know, and then you're going to hollow, you felt threatened. You know, if you felt threatened, stay home. You know, if you felt threatened, don't go around a nightclub to drink no booze. You know, be a mediator, you know. Because if you're a police officer and you felt threatened and you have a firearm, well, you could yuck at your firearm and point at the individual or fire one and shot and call for backup if you're off duty. Call for backup and let the officers who are on duty come address the situation. You don't address the situation because you are off duty. So if you're off duty and they want to make some amendments to these incidents, because a lot of police officers are from the inner city community and they hang to the local nightclubs. And I know plenty of police officers that go to nightclubs and don't carry on like that. You understand? They don't act as they are police officers. They are just model citizens. We have good conversation all night and have no argument. But in many cases, we have cases like this where alcohol is involved and many of the officers can't control their alcohol level. And many of them who are in the armed forces are not properly trained to de-escalate situation. So there needs to be a lot of training as well for our officers on the force, especially if they're going to the general public, to be around citizens who also want to go out and have drinks. You know, you carry home a police issued gun, and you have the power of life and death because you're a police officer. And you would always use that to your advantage in most cases because you have that in your head already that you're a police officer. So since you're a police officer, you're already trained, you already pulled this gun many times, you might have discharged it, you might have shot people, and you know the situation going on in the country where you have a lot of guys that they were bad guys go to these nightclubs and they have guns as well. So when you go to these nightclubs, you have intention to protect yourself from these individuals. You understand? So you might mistake an American guy for a Bahamian guy, you know, and thinking he going for his gun, you know? So in this day and age, if people see you walk off and they see you going in the car, everyone think you're going for your gun, so they rather get you before you get them. And sometimes that won't be the case. Sometimes people just won't walk away. But we are people who are presumptuous. You know, they won't prove a point to other people who stand in the restaurant. Why big and they bad? No, I ain't got it. So when the person walk off, you won't go behind them and mess with the person. You know, and you in sight. And you in sight, the altercation. And we have these things going on with many of our officers. And they need to be trained that if their job is to protect and serve, right? You know who you're supposed to protect and serve? Every citizen in the country. How you could be shooting the people who you're supposed to be protecting and serving? Who are you protecting and serving? And we always hear this. In some cases, they be justifiable. Because we have a lot of people out there who are wild in nature. And it's a very dangerous job to be a police officer. And that's why so many of our officers are so trigger happy. Because they're seeing the murders that be happening on our streets. 100 murders per year. So they themselves are post-traumatic stress disorder. You know? A lot of our post-traumatic stress is all, you know. Because to be going to all the murder scenes and seeing people getting killed, you know, for many years on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you get used to it. And sometimes, hey, people, with the everyday stress, it could cause you dark, violent, not knowingly. So that's why you need to have therapy for our officers and stuff like that. So I know it's bad on us, as a country, and we need to address it. And this is history in the Bahamas, that so many senior cops of the highest rank are being charged for serious crime in the country. So if we're saying it's one bad apple, no, it's not. You know, we need to fix it. We have a lot of bad apples there. And, you know, a lot of officers drink. You understand? Because they have problems, you know, but if we are saying as citizen that officers ain't supposed to be drinking, I agree with you fully, but it's not gonna happen. Drinking on the Royal Bahamas Police Force has been going on for hundreds of years in this country. And that is a custom. What we have to do is enforce it. They have to try to contain as much as possible. Because you do have a lot of officers who drink while it's on duty. And some of them know how to do the character and some do. You know, just like us, we ain't perfect, you know. It's never going to be a perfect police force, you know. But what you can do is you can make it best fit that you see we have standards and we have a code. And we try our best to maintain it. And for those who break it, we punish them, but we also give them therapy, you know, because we all be humans, you know. And the greatest thing I want all of us to know, we are the biggest let down as black people living in this country. We are the biggest letdown because we have failed many generations in this country. We have partially independence, and yet still today, we have major problems. We are self-governing ourselves here in the country, and we are destroying ourselves in this country. I don't see no white beliefs shooting down the young guys in the street. Sometimes it'd be justifiable. Okay, I don't see the white people them killing up one another. I mean, like, you know what I mean, besides what's going on in the US, but I'm talking about, like, you know, like on the streets. You know? We had some. How much murders last year? How much white people get killed in that? Yeah, before last, we had 100 murders. How much white people get killed in that? You know, every year, 100 murders. Basically, it's us as black people. So we are the biggest problem to ourselves. You know, we govern ourselves and we still destroying ourselves. That's crazy, eh? We governing ourselves. As a black nation, okay, from take over from the British, and to this day, look at our hospital. Look at our inner city communities. Look at our buildings. Look at our housing in the inner city community. Look at our attitude. Okay, enough of that. So again, morals. That's morals again. Then we have this young lady again, assaulting a senior citizen. She was at a gas station. Watch the footage. Like I said, the old gentleman was in the bathroom. He was in the bathroom just like any citizen is allowed to. She wanted to use the bathroom. She have no manners, no respect. So you think your life is going to be good? I'm not being judgmental or not. But this is our way, and this is what we are doing as leaders in the country, and allowing our citizens to act in this type of manner. because we're not leading by example. So now it's trickling down to the next generation, where when you get old and you've seen this, this is not an isolated incident. You know? Just how a young person would see an old person probably lying and try push the person out of the way or try go around the person or try talk bad to the person because they don't have no respect. They were never taught manners and respect. And so much of our kids are growing up like this in the country. And she wanted to use the bathroom. The senior citizen was in the bathroom. She knocking on the door. The bathroom locks automatically. Someone is in the door. The bathroom is designed that whoever goes in the bathroom first uses the bathroom. Now, it doesn't matter how long they take because some people have health issues. Some people might even use the bathroom to catch a little leak. Some people will catch a number two. And some people, number two might be 2-3 minutes. Some people, number two might be 10, 15, 20 minutes. Some people might, when discharged, but when they pee, they have inflammatory diseases. And they pee can't come out, so they have to wait in the bathroom for a little while until it comes out, you know, because some people, yeah, that's what's going on in our country with colon cancer and et cetera, so we have a lot of males like that, and we have a lot of females like that. So when you use the bathroom, now I don't know how long you've been in there, it doesn't matter. She got to use the bathroom. She ain't even away. So I guess that style of young, old gentleman, he come out, she jump on his face, which is uncalled for, out of the blue. Now I heard that she is charged with assaults and et cetera, et cetera. And this is all values our country is losing. You know, so we have to focus. You know? We have to focus. It's crazy. Phone lines, you can't get the phone line on, so I'm sorry if you want to call, but you can't call because you can use the text line. You can text 422-GR96 and I can read your text, okay? We got a few more minutes. Yeah. Our values, you know, are completely diminished. And then I talked earlier about the officer we saw on Facebook. You know, I know him as well. He participated in a basketball tournament as well. Two of them. One used to work at the Beauty Bakery. And I tell you, I know most of these individuals by helping the basketball tournament, being a guy who controlled the streets as well for many, many, many years, now being a community leader. I'm controlling it a different way. I still meet a lot of people on a daily basis. I'm that same officer, I knew him personally, and the next officer was in the video. And you could see where the actions of both the police and both actions of the female, to see how our female, you know, I'm not saying the woman wrong or, you know, probably two of them wrong, you know, in the way how we do things in the country, you know. You know, he had his reason must he for going to lock her up and, you know, sometimes, you know, we resist, you know, like, I ain't going nowhere, well, I ain't lock up, you know, and the police telling you to lock up, so he's not gonna let you go because people telling you what you do or why you doing that. No, he's gonna stick there because he's training that particular way on how to deal with the situation, not listen to nobody around. He's not gonna let you go. You know, because he didn't have in his mind that you're locked up, so he's gonna continue to lock you up. No matter what you say, the only thing you're gonna do is make the situation worse. I've had court cases like it. You know, it's very hard to explain. You know, there's so much roughness and hatred in our community, and everyone grew up so rough. You know, the females are growing up rough, the young kids are growing up rough. So that's why we need to change. And how our community is developed. You know, we have to provide the opportunity for these kids to explore the world and let their minds open and let them know that, you know, you just can't be around your whole life in this community. It's more to being around in the community. And if you're in this community, we have opportunities for you in this community. We have a small business, we have a community center, you know, we have activities in the park, we have connection with the church, you know, we have something positive always. There for the kids, you know, if they want to go into agriculture, we have information on where they can go to get information. They want to go to BOMSI, they want to go to PTVI, they want to get small business, we want to have all those numbers for them, show them how to set it up. You know, they could go by the community center, that is wider for them in the community, for them to go and get the information or help them get the information, you know. You want to help them get their passports and stuff like that, who live in the inner city community and et cetera and et cetera. Who are citizens, you know, who don't know how to go about it. You know, you want to do those kind of stuff so we can empower these kids so that we can change their mindset and show them that there's more to living inside the inner city than just to be around and not doing nothing, being idle. We want to be able to make the community a place for kids to develop so that they can become good citizens with the opportunities that are provided from the community. Okay, there's someone saying, yeah, good night, Mr. Brown. You have a beautiful show tonight. You are a true community leader who knows our young members of society. God will see our Bahamas for the better once Jay becomes the next MP. Wow, this is someone who supports Jay. Like I said, Jay is, help Jay develop. He has to become an outstanding young gentleman. Now he is a candidate to be the next member of parliament for the being a grandstand based on how the election run. He's going up against Mr. Watson, you know. So it's a great honor for him. I'm really happy for him. I wish him the most success and to all the candidates, you know. Thank you very much for sending this message, you know. And that's what it's all about, people, you know. We have to find a way on how we could change the mindset in our community. Our values have gone. You know, that little girl, young girl, she only but 20, 21, or could be even younger than that. You know, has to be fighting a man who's 60, 70, 80, and he ain't do you nothing because you won't use the bathroom. See, we could talk about all the election, all we want. But if we don't have a clue on what we need to do to change the values in our kids and how, not even in our kids. If you look at the females, you know, when the police was addressing them, they rough. Our females rough. So let's make our females less rough. Let's make our males less rough. So yes, they're still going to be mine, but they'll be mine who wants the best for their life. We want to stare them to be a real man as to get married, or if you're not married, you can be with somebody who's your girlfriend for like 20, 30 years, like I'm and Anna, you know, Jeff and Lillian Brennan, they're married. You know, they say they never get married, and they've been together all my life. And I asked them once why they won't get married. They said, be married. You know, they live in the same house. I think Lady Haas is buying a condo. You know, they live in the same house, but I think my aunt again is buying a car. You know, I don't want them, you know what I mean? But they live together, they share everything. And they're not married, but they married. And when I look at it, she say, I could get anything from him and he could get anything from me. And he could do that he wouldn't do for me. And, you know, when I look at it like that, you know, and they don't need to get married, they married. So you could be with somebody, and you don't have to be married, it's just that you all have a commitment together to keep on building together and keep on building together. So it ain't about marriage, but you have the mentality, we're going to build together, and we're going to stick together, we're going to raise our kids together, and we can lead by example so that they don't go astray. You understand? Because when kids see their parents together, when they have their relationship, they want the same thing for themselves as well, because they see that their mother and daddy still together. And they grow up in that mentality. So eventually, it's about passing that gene, you know, to the next generation. You know, teach them about love and about respect, about manners, you know, having respect for your elders, you know. when you see an older person run. You weren't supposed to be cursing and canon like that. You know, you're supposed to have respect when you see an older person run. You're supposed to be able to say, okay, if you see an older person crossing the road or something like that, and we have a bunch of young guys or female, and we see that old person, we should respect that. We should go and assist that old person coming off the bus, you understand, or crossing the road as the next young generation. That's why Japan and China does that. That's why the young in China and Japan take care of the old. You know? And that's why I love Japan. You know? They don't neglect their old. They teach their kids about manners, respect. They teach them about cleanliness. They teach the girls especially about cleanliness. The girls in Japan only wear white underwear to school. Why is that? They teach them about hygiene. You know, it's for females going to school and wearing white underwear. So they're teaching you about cleanliness. They clean up, they cook, you know? And that's what we need as a country, you know? We're losing our values. Take a look at it. Our values. You know, we could talk about all the investment we want. All the billion-dollar investment. But if we don't put God first, I ain't even with God. Because God said, we are God's ourselves. And he said, what you do, what Christ say. See, listen closely. I ain't a preacher, but I can interpret the Bible. Now, I might not get it right, like an interpretation like that, but I understand. Why do Christ say, what you do for the poor, you do for me? Why he say that? Why Christ say that? Christ say, if you do for the poor, you do for me. So what are you saying? That the poor people, if you do for them, you do for me. Because he feel the suffering for the poor, because he's in the poor as him. Because he come here for the poor and help inspire the rich to give to the poor. Because that's why when they say in the Bible, they say when Christ was walking through this little short, Ananias, I can't remember his name. I might get the name a little mixed up. And he was a tax collector. And they said he raised high tax on the citizen. Means that he was like the governor general of that province because the Romans were in charge. And just like how we have Cindy Mother Pratt, you know, as the governor general, that's like the ambassador. So he was like the tax collector working with the Roman government, and his job is to go around and tax his own people. So he was like a host nigger, and his job is to go around and tax the residents of the constituency, the taxes for the Roman government, and he was overcharging. And they said that when he was, Christ heard the stories about him, and Christ came to the city for him. But the thing is, he was looking for Christ too, because he heard the word of Christ, and he was up in a tree. And they said when Christ was walking through, you know, Christ called them and tell them, come down there. And Christ ain't come to change governments, you know. He ain't come to attack the government. He could tell them what they're doing wrong. But one thing he's going to do, he's going to also tell you what you need to do to make it right. What is the right thing to do? That's why he tell the tax collector, you charge too much. He said, give unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. But why are you overcharging? You don't need all that. So they said, after the talk, he went to Christ, went to his house. They sat down, they break bread, break wine. He talked to him one-on-one. He highly respected Christ. And he listened to every word that Christ said. And Christ changed his heart. And he started to give back all the people who he overcharged. But Christ didn't tell him, don't take the taxes, you know. He said, give unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. And give unto Christ what is due unto Christ. So if we don't figure that out, and I don't care how much the PLP could go and win this general election, and if they don't try to change the heart of themselves, try to change the heart of these little girls, who this young lady, because it comes from the very top. It's hard to explain. I can't explain it. You understand? But I know from living on the streets and still living on the streets, it comes from the top and goes to the bottom. And sometimes it goes from the bottom and the bottom goes to the top because I've seen so many young people, kids who have money, want to be like the guys on the street. They come from a good family And they want to be like the guys on the streets. So it could come from the top, go to the bottom, and from the bottom, go to the top. And we have to change their mindset in this country. And we have to change our mindset on how we govern this country. Because we are destroying ourselves in this country. The Greeks ain't destroying the country. The white behemoth today who are in this country, they're not destroying the country because they give to charity. Millions of dollars charity to many institutes and programs in this country. You know who's messing it up? Us. You know? Us. Until we realize and figure it out, we could be going to spin a hole. We losing the bombers when it comes to morals. You know? And I guess, you know, we just up though. Keep on trying. See, I just look at that from my perspective because I live in the community and, you know, I travel around. And like I say, go to the nightclubs because, you know, I'm human too, and I go to relax myself because I used to be busy, you know. I work hard in the community, you know. And sometimes, you know, you just be a little stressed, you know. You just need to go and drink one or two. I'm not encouraging no one to go drink one or two. I'm saying what I do, you know. I go and I drink one or two. Listen to some music. And along the way, you talk to a few persons and just having that conversation and being in the environment for a few minutes. You don't want to be to the bar. You know, I just go to my friend in bar who reside in the community. They'll patronize their business. And then a lot of people in the neighborhood, you know, we have discussions about the topics and what's going on in the country. And I use that to come on this show and express their views to the general public and how they are responding to when persons like the commissioner say they were not pressured from the U.S. to press charges against a senior officer, when we know that senior officers don't really get charged in the country. They were protected from the fraternity, even if they could have been those who were committing serious crime. Because at the end of the day, we've seen an operation where we've had the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation and tobacco and firearms unit have arrested, charged, behemoth senior cops. We've had guys like Curtis who are being indicted now, and et cetera. We've had sentence being handed down from Superintendent Miller. Yeah, he got 4 years. We have an ex-gentleman in the States during the same time, former Defense Force officer, former police officer, all serving time for illegal activities when it relates to dangerous drugs and transportation of dangerous drugs via, you call it illegal substance in the USA of America. So it's there for everyone to see, and we have seen it, and, you know, we just wanted to be dealt with. Means let's put in preventative measures in place so that we can at least be able to have investigations on officers who we feel there's some type of information of some type of illegal irregularity that they involved with and investigated and be able to deal with it, whether you're a police officer or not. Once it is true, once the proper investigation is done, because there are a lot of times, when allegations are made against members of the armed forces. And sometimes, you know, it is be a lie. So we also have to look at that as well. But we know that most incidents that we have talked about, most incidents that we have talked about, has it either been in the newspaper? Has been either in the newspaper? Yeah. Sorry about that. No, I'm on the show. Sorry about that.
Hello.
Sorry.
There's echo.
Yeah. Investigation like that, and we all saw in the newspaper, and it come to reality, and we have to be able to address it. And 40 Cents, who are in charge of the protection of the country, they tend to speak more towards attacking their colleagues. And only through international pressure, like I said, with this incident that we feel that Mr. Senior Police Officer, Mr. Pender, who, like I tell you, you know, I take no happiness in seeing this type of embarrassment, and especially an ex-human being, you know, going through the situation that he is going through, and also the international pressure and the pain of the loved one of the deceased as well. You know, how are they feeling? So it's very sad for us to be put in this position as a country and as a community. And we have to do all in our power to find a way and how we can train our officers better. You know, we have a problem. We have a problem, and we need to address it. You know, we have a serious problem. Okay. Yeah. So something else I want to talk about. So, again, let's see. Yeah. So we, as a country, always do our best address the truth. Okay. We always have to keep on addressing the truth. Because the day we stop addressing the truth, for us who know the truth and we see something wrong in the country and we don't speak out on it and try to make it an issue where we could get the country to correct it, we all are going to go in the country and turn into Solomon and Gomorrah. And then all kind of destruction is going to come upon our land because we allow wickedness and lies to keep on developing in the country. And the father states this. He states that any nation who goes back to him, he would heal the nation. Healing the nation means that the hospital, the health in the nation, our politics, our church, we would start to prosper on a level that has never been seen before. Because he has you. You understand? And if we look at our country and we're trying to defend what is wrong, right? Like I said again, how our commissioner, you know, she talked on it. And she said that, you know, his officer life was in danger, and that's the reason why he fired. Now she have to take back that talk, because that is not the case of the video recording. So what I'm trying to say is that just speak the truth, Madam Commissioner. Okay? Just speak the truth. And let's try to wreck it. Because the more we hide things, it's going to be exposed. You see what happened? It had to happen to someone, which I didn't wish for no one to lose their life. You know? Look how it had to happen. It had to happen to an American citizen. And at first, it was trying to cover it up. Then, when the investigation was done and the video recording and the witness, now he's before the court. So I just like to say this to all the young officers on the force. Please, you know, be vigilant when you go to the nightclubs and stuff. There is nothing wrong with you going to the nightclub and having fun. You know, but be vigilant. Be able to de-escalate the situation, you know, with individuals who run a club, you know. Because when you're too intoxicated, both sides, bad things can happen. But you also have to be able to say, I'm an officer, and I know exactly what to do. I'm going to call for backup. You know, and the officers can come and they can handcuff the individual. You know, there are many decent police officers in this country, and I think that we could get it right. We could get it right if we continue to push for better training, okay, better transparency, better integrity, and also for the police to really protect and serve the Bahamian people the way they're supposed to serve. Let me ask you a question before I go. If a person is walking on Michael Road late at night, driving on Michael Road, a female or male, and a police car is coming on the road, do you think that police car should pass that individual on that road or just stop and ask the person, excuse me, where are you going? Do you want to ride to where your destiny is? I end on that. That is protecting and serving, okay? You could give people a ride if you see them walking late at night, or if you see a young female mother early in the morning on the bus stop looking to go to work. You could do those things, you know? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but guess what? That's what we got to come to as a country when it comes to our law enforcement. Because we want a softer country, you know? We want a softer, we are too hardened, okay? You know, the police are hardened, the people are hardened. You know, if you watch some of the rallies, you know, we back and forth with one another, you know, because of political parties. And we're ready to get into altercation physically, you know? So we have our anger management in our country, okay? So I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. See you next week. Godspell life. Enjoy. Bless up, Elroy.
Why they hating for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Cutlass, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I'm from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger beat and bro.